Now back to Varsity Football Live, powered by the Ram and Albert Lea Appliance on Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Welcome back, 9:55 on Sports Radio 950 KJR. Dick Fain with you. Our thanks to both Eric Curley and Dave Miller, the two lone representatives left from the greater Tacoma area in the state tournament. It's kind of slim pickings down there in T-Town this year as far as the making the Elite Eight, but those two teams doing some great things, and they have outstanding chances to advance, particularly Lakes taking on a Kennewick team who Lakes should be able to get by. We will see tomorrow. A little stiffer competition, though, for Graham Kapowsin, as that's going to be a battle of styles. We will preview that game both with TJ Cotterill of the Tacoma News Tribune and with our own Steve Dion coming up in the next segment. But speaking of Steve Dion, let's talk to him now about our big game of the night.
It's time to go under the Friday night lights with a look at the big game of the week.
Well, we kind of figured, Steve, that we'd be talking about Eastside Catholic at this time of the year. We kind of figured we'd be talking about them at the Tacoma Dome, and they had an opportunity to make yet another trip to the T-Dome to try to defend their state championship. At first, they had to get by a very good team, an upstart team over the past couple years from the SPSL 3A in Bonnie Lake, a very good football team down there coming to face Eastside Catholic over at Memorial.
Yeah, absolutely. You would have not expected this Bonnie Lake team to be 7-4 given how they ended up playing Eastside Catholic tonight. And the score, which we'll get to at the end, was not really indicative of the game flow, just based on how a lot of opponents end up faring against the Crusaders. The game got going with a kickoff to the Crusaders, and Brandon Wellington got the ball, took it 86 yards to the house, and we're thinking, oh boy, this is one of those games. But there was some yellow laundry on the field. Took it back. There was a legal hands to the back, and it
was it the Seahawks playing?
Yeah, seriously. It felt like that during the game. And so they had to essentially start, you know, deep in their own territory. As usual, though, they turned it into a touchdown. On a 4th and 14, Harley Kirsch hit one of his favorite targets, Matt Laris, right up the gut. And, you know, that's just one of those things from Eastside Catholic. You know, you can stop them for 3 downs and you think, oh, we're going to get the ball now. But no, they're going to go for it on 4th down. And he's so efficient that, you know, it's a pretty high percentage even when it's 4th and long. I mean, right, there's still a pretty good shot that they're going to get it. However, Bonnie Lake did what very few teams do, which is come right down the field and respond. They were able to get a nice touchdown set up by a lot of run plays where they just go right up the gut. Ethan Koepke, he went 23 yards on a screen pass from Dane Wagner. And they actually made their point after, unlike Eastside Catholic. So they actually had a lead in this game midway through the first quarter, which I don't know if that's happened all season, let alone trailing or, you know, allowing a response touchdown in the first drive of the game for them. Eastside Catholic did what they did best, though. Right after that, they marched down the field. Harley Kirsch scores on a 2-yard touchdown run, which was set up by another long pass by Matt Laris, reception. So he had a really big first half, was really one of the major playmakers because Bonnie Lake was doing a good job of kind of, you know, matching them in that field possession game. I mean, it wasn't one of those things where Bonnie Lake was just deep in their own territory in the shadow of their end zone. They were getting past midfield line. They were getting into Eastside Catholic territory. Midway through the second, Bonnie Lake fumbles and was capitalized on a Tyler Folks touchdown, a 2-yard run. So it was 21-7 at this point. And, you know, one of those things that Eastside Catholic does so well is they close half strong. The two games that I've seen them play this year, they might have, you know, a decent lead, but then in the last, like, 2 to 3 minutes, they'll just bury you with, like, 2 touchdowns going into break with that momentum. And they did so. Tyler Folks Devin Arbus-Jackson had a 23-yard reception from Kirsch once again to close out the half 28-7. And, you know, at that point, I mean, there was kind of a glimmer of hope. And that was kind of squashed pretty quickly as a couple third quarter touchdowns by Eastside Catholic, by Folks and Arbus Jackson again, kind of put things out of reach. But overall, I mean, it was a 47-7 final in this one. Overall, I think Bonnie Lakes gave Eastside probably one of their best tests that I've seen, you know, even comparable to an extent of how Bellevue was, because in the second half, they ran a wildcat with one of their running backs, was Jason Day, not the golfer, by the way. And, you know, it was just direct snaps to the running back, and they were just pounding it up the gut each time, and they were able to get yards. And it was kind of evident that, you know, the Eastside defense really isn't their major strength. I mean, they can be kind of, they can get some yards allowed on them. They're not seamless. I think what really happens is these lopsided scores are a product of their offense just being so effective and so efficient that, you know, it kind of puts teams out of their rhythm, and it kind of gets them feeling like the game's out of reach. And then, you know, when they only have 7 or 14 points for the entire game, you know, it's like, oh, wow, the defense must have had a great game. But really, it's kind of the offense just taking the wind out of the opponent's sails.
This offense is one of the best we've seen maybe in state history. I mean, yeah. they have been that impressive. They've been together for a long, long time now. The All-Metro team just came out 3 days ago. And just to give people an indication how dominant Eastside Catholic is on offense, Harley Kirsch, quarterback, offensive MVP of the Metro League. They also had the defensive MVP, by the way, the co-defensive MVP in Brandon Wellington. Kick return returner of the year, Brandon Wellington. Then the first team offense, quarterback Harley Kirsch, running back Chris Liefau, wide receivers Devin Artis Jackson and Matt Laris, tight end Hunter Bryant, go to the offensive line, Brody McKnight. We go to Colin Stout. So two on the offensive line, the tight end, two wide receivers, a running back, and the quarterback, all on the first team All-Metro. That's it. They run out an all-star team on offense every time they play.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, if every time I see them, it's which Crusader is going to kind of shine in this game. You know, last time I saw him, it was a lot of Arbus Jackson. I mean, he definitely got his touches in this game, but Matt Laris wasn't as big of a factor. In this game, he was just getting passed to all the time. So it's just, you never know. They do tend to kind of, you know, distribute it heavy to one guy, you know, each game. You know, they keep you on your toes. A couple just kind of extra little notes about this game. Definitely big credit goes out to Caleb Davis from Bonnie Lake, their defensive end. He was a monster on both sides of the ball. Just really led, you know, the line, allowing them to run the ball and really stuffing Eastside Catholic's attack for as much as he could have for their running game. Also, you mentioned Hunter Bryant. That guy, he also punts, and he had this booming punt that just sent the returner way back, totally outkicked the coverage. It was very surprising. I didn't know he kicked the ball as well, because we rarely see the Crusaders punt.
Right.
And so, yeah, just a, you know, 47-7 final. I think they're just right where they need to be this time of year.
Well, we've talked a lot when we've done the Eastside Catholic games. This is probably your third Eastside Catholic game that you've talked about on the radio show this year. We've talked a lot about Matt Laris, the big wide receiver, the speedster, and Devin Arvis Jackson. We've talked about the quarterback, Kirsch, a lot. And we've talked both this year and last year about Brandon Wellington. Tell me about Chris Liefau a little bit, a first-team running back that you know, that we haven't heard, at least I haven't heard as much about as some of the other stars on that offense.
He is not primarily, from what I'm seeing, an offensive player. He's more of a defensive specialist.
I wonder how he got first team all league then.
Yeah, I don't
unless
know.
It was a miss, unless they meant to put in, I mean, it could be possibly that they meant to put in Brandon Wellington in that spot. It was, they put Brandon Wellington in the second team offense and Chris Liefau in the first team offense.
Yeah, and Brandon Wellington, one of those as well, like as a sophomore, he was primarily a running back, but it seems like as he's gotten older, he's becoming more of kind of a defensive, you know, primarily.
That's where he's going to play at the next level.
Yeah, he'll play at the next level. So they're kind of focusing on that. But yeah, I mean, Leafau, Folks is another one of those running backs that is, you know, very explosive for Eastside. So, you know, he's kind of got that linebacker body. So he's, you know, definitely isn't going to shy away from contact at all. So in addition with Noah Failauga and Ricky Medeiros, another couple, you know, big defensive bodies in there as well. So, you know, it just it's so hard to contain these guys.
So Eastside Catholic advances to the Tacoma Dome, the semifinals next week. They will face the winner of the Kennewick Lakes game, as we talked to Dave Miller in the last segment about his battle with Kennewick coming up tomorrow. We'll get a further preview on Lakes with TJ Cotterill in the next segment, have him break down that team a little bit and see what type of chances he gives Lakes of beating Kennewick, and then potentially, if they can get by that game, of beating Eastside Catholic. Let's go to the bottom side of that bracket real quick and just talk about, I know we're going to have you on a little bit later to break down some more of these games, but let's just, since we're on 3A right now,
yeah,
let's break down Bellevue Glacier Peak a little bit. Glacier Peak's a team that's really had a solid sports program, both in basketball and football the last few years, a school that hasn't been around for an awful long time. Bellevue has been the dominator. There's no question about it in the state of Washington for the last decade plus. They got dethroned by Eastside Catholic last year. They got revenge on their minds. And what do you like about this Bellevue team? How do they compare to the team that made the title game last year in your mind?
They have a lot of the same players, you know, a veteran quarterback, skill players. You know, like we had mentioned last week, their lack of, you know, big linemen like they've had in recent history is kind of one of their kryptonites maybe. But still, I mean, they definitely seem like they're the favorite to come out of that side of the bracket. It should be a real fun game. I mean, Glacier Peak has played Bellevue this year. They gave them their best test of any of the Washington teams. It's a 24-6 game. So if you can, you know, leave the Wolverines to 24 points in any game, that's kind of a win in itself.
Right.
You know, the familiarity factor, you know, they got them on tape a little bit. You know, that could play into it. Same location up there at Snohomish Memorial Stadium. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, I obviously think, you know, the Wolverines are favored in this game. But, you know, we'll see to what extent Glacier Peak can kind of push them around a little bit.
And then two teams you know well, the very bottom game of that bracket, going to be played at Memorial Stadium tomorrow. You'll actually be at that game, 5 o'clock. Juanita taking on Bishop Blanchette. Who do you like there?
This one is, of any of them, I think the biggest toss-up. I mean, both teams have pretty similar qualities in terms of just veteran quarterback, running back combo. Tavin Montgomery for Juanita and Salvan Ahmed. Ahmed plays both sides of the ball very well. In addition, they have Dean Seiss.
Ahmed's a big-time recruit, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, huge-time
recruit. He's one of the top kids in the state, no doubt about
it. Right. That Washington's going after huge.
Heavily, yeah. So
safety?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, he's about 6 foot, I think 200, 215, somewhere in that ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and then Juanita counters with Alex Freeman and O'Shea Trujillo, who we've heard about earlier. It should be a fun one. I mean, last time I saw Juanita was when their quarterback, Tavin Montgomery, actually last year had a season-ending knee injury. So Dexter Mell had to fill in for, I believe, the rest of the year. But Montgomery's back. Kind of a weird moment on their schedule this year was when they really got smacked down by Mountain View 57-28 in the early going. And then their other loss was to Bellevue 42-14. But their best wins really have been the last 2 weeks. I mean, they beat Oak Harbor 2 weeks ago, and then a 57-7 drubbing of Columbia River last week was kind of a statement win for them. Blanchette, I mean, their kind of big moment win of this year was when they beat O'Day.
Right.
I mean, they kind of got that monkey off their back that they hadn't, you know, beaten the Irish in 20 plus years.
Right. Then they got smacked back down to earth by the Crusaders.
The next week, which was one of our big games of the night. But, you know, I really think Blanchette is kind of, I don't think anyone expected them to get this far in the tournament, but, you know, they're they're definitely a capable team of getting to the next round, no doubt about it.
Oh, no, a great job.
Should be a shootout.
Kyle Moore's done a fantastic job at Bishop Blanchette. There's no question about it. You know, the interesting part about the Bellevue run to the final game potentially is that they've already faced Glacier Peak, like you mentioned, in a win. They've already faced Juanita, who they could potentially play in the semifinals. And then last year in the title game, they've already faced Eastside Catholic less than a year ago. So it's like there's going to be a lot of familiarity for the Wolverines potentially all the way through this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's when you're kind of that top team, you end up just out of, you know, the way it works out, you just end up seeing all the other top teams. So, you know, we'll see how that bottom half shakes out. I do think that it is a little bit stronger with Bellevue, Glacier Peak, Juanita, and Bishop Blanchette coming out of that bottom. Whereas, you know, Lakes is definitely a strong team, and Eastside Catholic is clearly the best. But I think, you know, the Bonnie Lake and Kennewick part of it just kind of, you know, makes it not quite as rounded out as the other half. So it's going to be, you know, whoever gets out of that bottom fourth is definitely going to be battle-tested.
Great stuff. We'll talk some 4A in the next segment. We'll also have TJ Cotterill join us because he's got to tell us about the two teams, give us a little more in-depth. We talked to the head coach of those two Tacoma teams, both Dave Miller and Eric Curley, and TJ's been covering those. He wrote a nice article about the offensive line.
I saw that.
The trench crew.
I love that.
Of Graham Kapalson. That's what they call their offensive line, the best offensive line in the state. So we'll talk to TJ about that. But the 3A looks like this. Eastside Catholic defeats Bonnie Lake 47-7 at Memorial Stadium. Do we have a big time performer in that game? Anybody put up some big numbers?
We probably have multiple. We'll
pull
out
some numbers. We'll pull out some final numbers from that one. If you've got a big time performer, if you were at that game, if you were at one of the smaller school games, there were some 1A school games, some B school games tonight that were played. If you were at a game, just text me at 49451. Probably not as many texts tonight as usual. Just because there's not nearly as many games as usual. So if you text in tonight, you got a lot better shot at winning that $50 gift card to the Ram restaurant. If you were at that, especially if you were at that Eastside Catholic Bonnie Lake game, you can come up with some numbers from that one. You got a great shot at winning a $50 gift card from our friends at the Ram restaurant with 11 Puget Sound locations. So Eastside Catholic beats Bonnie Lake 47-7 at Memorial Stadium. Kennewick and Lakes at 1:00 tomorrow at Harry Lang Stadium in Lakewood. We'll preview that with TJ coming up next. Bellevue faces Glacier Peak tomorrow at 7:00 up in Snohomish at Veterans Memorial Stadium. And then the game Steve will be at tomorrow at 5:00 Memorial Stadium in Seattle, Juanita and Bishop Blanchette. TJ Cotterill from the Tacoma News Tribune, our truncated version of Trip Around the State, starts next on 950 KJR.